you can talk about the gospel all day, but we just made this simple statement out of the gospel that Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ has come again. You can say that in a different order if you want, but I mean, that's the order it happened, but I mean, it's all still true, okay? So, you know, it's good. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Sins are forgiven. Yeah, this is good news. New life has been birthed in us. This is good news. Hope of complete restoration to come is good news, yeah? We've got something to sing about, right? And through the gospel, we're born again, and not just born again, and that's it, me and Jesus, but we're born again into a family. In fact, as was said earlier, it's not just when I pray, but actually when the church prays together, then when something happens in response to that prayer, then we all get excited about it because, oh, I prayed for that. And then so we are a family, we are a body, we are God's people. That's good news. And you have probably noticed that if you go to a church service anywhere, that there will be at least a little bit of singing, right? Yeah, have you noticed that? It's a bit weird, isn't it, really, sometimes when you think about it. If you think about it, where else do you go and you all sit down and you start singing together? I mean, I don't know if you do that at home. Maybe some families do. In the olden days when we used to sing the Messiah around the piano. That kind of thing. But that's what we do. When we get together, we sing out. Why is that? Why is that? Well, maybe you might think, well, it's obvious. And for some people, it's the primary reason why you might come to church. Is I love singing songs of praise. I love the music. And for some people, maybe that. For others, it may be like, why on earth are we doing this? And not only this, why are we doing it for so long? We sing for ages, it seems. You know, skip to the sermon. At least get to that guy who tells all the jokes, all the things about the Queen and stuff. You know, that guy, he's funny. Or the coffee. I come to church for the coffee, but the singing, I can take it or leave it. Maybe the rest of us fit somewhere in the middle of those things. But today's subject is worship. We've already done a bit of that, actually. We've already spoken to one another, the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And now, I know that I'm only, you need to know that I'm only addressing one bit of worship. You know, I firmly believe, as it says in Romans 12:1, that we are to offer our bodies a living sacrifice. You know, worship is something we do as a lifestyle, right? I just want you to know, I firmly believe that. But today we're going to focus on one particular bit of worship, which is singing and giving praise to God with our mouths. So I'm going to read you again this bit from Ephesians. So if you want to, you can turn in your Bibles if you want to. Ephesians 5 verse 18, which is what I read from earlier. Ephesians 5:18, which says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to say something now. To get what I'm going to say today, we need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. Okay? Now, here's what it's saying here. In fact, here's a question. This is probably not the question you expected to hear from the pastor at church this morning, but if I want to get drunk tonight, when do I need to drink wine? Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. I know some of you have not touched a drop of wine in your entire lives. But some of you do know what I'm talking about, all right? When do I need to drink if I want to get drunk tonight? Tonight. Any time, well, I suppose, yeah, okay. This man speaking from experience. Any time, well, today, right? Yeah, I need. If I want to get drunk tonight and tomorrow night, when do I need to drink? Just carry on drinking, okay? But if I want to get drunk tonight, tomorrow night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday, I mean, the family's away. I'm on my own, the family's away. You know, these legitimate questions, I suppose. If I want to get drunk tonight, tomorrow night, and all the way through to the end of next week, when do I need to drink? Every day. Yeah? It's no good me drinking 10 bottles of wine this afternoon and expecting to still to be feeling the effects next Sunday. I might be feeling the effects for a few days. I might be in hospital. I might not be here. But do you see what I'm saying? It's no good me drinking 10 bottles of wine today and think, well, I'm going to be drunk still next week on Sunday. You know, by the way, it doesn't take me 10 bottles of wine. One glass will do. But I need to keep drinking if I want to stay drunk. But it says here, you'll be glad to know, I haven't gone completely loopy with this conference I've been to. Do not get drunk on wine. Okay, right, you can breathe easy now. He's not actually promoting this. It says, instead, be filled with the Spirit. And so actually, there's a comparison and a contrast here. All right? Don't be filled with wine, be filled with the Spirit. So let me ask you a question. If I want to be filled with the Spirit today, when do I need to receive the Spirit? If I want to be filled with the Spirit tomorrow, when do I need to be filled with the Spirit? Yeah, do you see? We'll carry on. Do you see? It's not something where I'm just filled today and then that's it. I'll still be filled. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit is always with us. But if we want to be filled, full, you know, like up to the top, brimming with the Holy Spirit, we need to just receive the Spirit continually. That's good, isn't it? Because that's part of the gospel. He pours out his Spirit on us today, tomorrow, next week, the week after. And that's what we need. If we want to understand this, we need to receive the Spirit. And I think our problem is, because we're Christians, we tend to drink the Spirit in moderation because we know we should drink alcohol in moderation. And we kind of get the two things confused. So we think, right, well, I shouldn't get drunk, so I'll just have one glass of wine and I'll be okay to drive and I'll be all right. I won't get silly. So we think that's Christian moderation. That's good. And then we kind of think with the Spirit in the same kind of way. But actually, no, it says don't be drunk. It's kind of using this extreme. Don't get drunk, but be filled with the Spirit. So fill up with the Spirit in the same way that those drunk people fill up on the drink. Yeah? So I encourage you today, if you want to get this idea of worship, be Holy Spirit-aholics. We should actually, church should be called Holy Spirit, oh, I can't say it. Holy Spirit-aholics Anonymous. Yeah? You know? Not Alcoholics Anonymous. But we're Holy Spirit kind of addicts. Fill up on the Spirit every opportunity. And we're going to reimagine church worship. And here's what it should be. Worship in the church should be the equivalent of the intoxicated drinking songs of the pub. Actually, because when people do, this is the other, you know, where do people sing? Well, football matches and when they've had a little bit too much to drink. Yeah? Oh, and the shower. Okay. Well, let's leave that image to one side because, okay. But, you know, our church services should be the spiritual equivalent of those drunken pub drinking songs where they're singing, I mean, you go to a pub and they sing about all kinds of things. We won't repeat most of them. That's being drunk with wine. But if we're drunk with the Spirit, we're going to be singing the songs of the church. We're going to be singing the songs of Jesus because we're so intoxicated with the Spirit that it's like, this is what we do. This is what we sing about. Yay, it's Jesus. So who wants this? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Yes, Julie does. Right, well, yes, that's good. Okay, I'm going to pray now because I want us just to receive a bit of the Holy Spirit so we get this, okay? So, Father, we thank you through the gospel that you fill us with your Spirit. Jesus has gone for the time being, but in his place the Holy Spirit has come. And we are grateful for that. And we don't want to miss out on what you're doing through that. So we pray, Holy Spirit, come and fill us afresh today, because we need your Spirit today. We'll need your Spirit tomorrow. We'll need your Spirit the next day. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us afresh so that we may know how to sing the songs of the church. We may know how to sing the songs of Jesus in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. So, it says here, be filled with the Spirit. Done that bit. Speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, I don't know about you, but if you read that, that may surprise you. If you've been to church, particularly if you've been to a sort of a modern church or even our church, I don't count us as modern because we've been here 100 years, okay? Here's the idea. We come to church to sing songs to who? Jesus. I mean, that's what church is. I mean, you can sing songs to yourself anywhere, can't you? You know, like we say, we can sing in the shower. But, you know, we've come here to sing songs to Jesus. And I suppose you could do that in the shower. You could do that when you're out in the hills. You can do that in the car. But actually, it says here, the surprising thing is, it says, speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And I don't know anything about you, but the good news for me is that now I'm in Christ and I'm not just singing on my own. Because actually, singing on my own gets a bit tiring after a while, but we're singing together. We sing songs to God with other people, and we sing about God to those other people. The direction of our song in church is actually twofold. Yes, we do sing to God, and that's not wrong, okay? So don't think, no, we don't sing to song. No, we do sing to God. We do sing to Jesus. But we also speak to one another. Filled with the Spirit of God, we gather to speak songs to one another. Because I don't know if you've noticed, because I could actually sing all of these songs we do at home on my own. Yeah? But I don't. I come because I sing them with you, and I sing them not only to God, but I sing them to you. Now, some of you will be very relieved. It actually says don't sing these songs, actually speak them. Okay, so that's probably quite a relief, and maybe a bit of a blessing to some. But whether they're sung or they're spoken, there's something here where we announce the truth of them to one another. We declare the truth of these songs to one another. We all need to hear that encouragement, don't we? You know, it's quite likely this week some of you had a bad week. Yeah? Anyone had a bad week? Yes? Yeah, okay, all right. And some of us have had a good week. Who's had a good week? Oh, look at that. The majority of good weeks. Well, you are the singers today. Let's hear God's praise, because these people haven't, okay? So they need to hear those songs. We all need that encouragement. Because if we didn't, we'd do it on our own. We would come to church with earplugs in. Now, I know, actually, Graham's not here today, but sometimes that's a different reason he comes to church with earplugs. Or we would all come to church, and rather than have chairs, we'd have little separate rooms with a sort of a TV monitor, and we could all watch. In fact, if you go into the creche now, you can probably watch me on the TV monitor. There's a camera up there. We'd all go into our little room, we'd all sing our song on our own, and that would be church. I mean, that would be dire, wouldn't it? Can you imagine that? It's one of the pet hates of my wife. My wife is that she... I was going to say wives there. No, I only have one wife. Is that, you know, where different people go in their house, go off into different rooms and watch TV, different programs in different... or sometimes even the same program in different rooms. It's like, why are we doing this? This is not family. And it's not church either. We all need to hear the songs of God that other people are singing that inspires us and encourages us to sing ourselves. They encourage us. They exhort us. They reveal the things of God. They're not just any old songs, are they? We're not just singing Twinkle Twinkle or I Did It My Way or anything like that. We're singing the songs of God. And so these God songs are here. That they're psalms. Let me give you a definition of psalms. They're the psalms in the Bible. Yeah, if you want to know that there's 150 of them, you just turn to the middle of the Bible. If you want, I mean, it's not hard. You just open it up and you read it. And then you say, well, I'm going to speak this to one another. Hymns here are basically biblically inspired songs. So songs that you find, oh, well, that has a kind of implication of something that we know in Scripture. In fact, Emma and we were just sharing this thing about, what was it? I can't remember now what song it was now. But these are all things from Scripture, but just kind of putting our own words. And these spiritual songs, a lot of people think that these are just Holy Spirit inspired songs. You know, just songs that just come from the Holy Spirit. And there's something of that type of worship that edifies the whole body, because that's where it's aimed. It's aimed at us. And so here's the challenge. Next time we come to worship, you can close your eyes for a bit if you tend to close your eyes when you worship, but keep your eyes open from time to time. Give somebody a wink or give somebody a look and sort of say, this, we're singing about this. We're singing about this song here. Yeah, it's this one. I like this one. It's about Jesus. Yeah, it's a good one. Tell people, this is a good song. This is good. I like this bit. I like this bit. Not just because she does good on the piano there and it all goes a bit tinkly. No, but the words here. What was that line that melted Emma? She's not here now. She just said, every time I get to this line, I scarce can take it in from How Great Thou Art. She said, I nearly lose it every time. I said, let's sing it so we can watch you cry. I mean, but in seriousness, because actually when you see somebody moved by worship, what does it do to you? Moves you too, right? Yeah. Look around, sing to one another. Oh, and the other bit of the verse here, sing to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, but make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. You're thinking, oh good, it does actually say that. Phew. Okay, we are singing to God as well, all right? So we're not just singing to one another. There's two ways of this. We're singing to one another and we're singing to God. We're making melody to him. Our voices speak to one another, but we make melody to God in our heart. And maybe God has, you know, maybe that is in his wisdom. Maybe he realizes that all of us aren't great singers, so we speak to one another, but we sing to him. Yeah? So he's not really, you're not really listening to the melody. He's listening to that kind of, that melody, and he's pleased with it. If you're singing to him. Two directions. And I think that has implications on how we do worship. I think we need to be close enough physically, close enough to one another that we can actually hear one another, right? Yeah? Sometimes we come to church, it's a bit like we're sitting on a bus. And there's like, oh, there's a seat right at the back, I'll have that one. And there's a few. There's one spare with four around it, spare, at the front, I'll sit on that one. And we kind of scatter. We're not done too bad today, actually. But if we want to sing to one another, we need to be close enough, because some of us haven't got a very loud voice, to just get together. Roy said, just give somebody some eye contact. Look at them. Smile at them. Nudge them. Our hearts are directed to him, and our voices are also directed to one another. Now, I'm just going to show you, if you turn to Revelation, I know if you are from ABC, you've actually, Ben's preached through Revelation, and you're all still in the church, which is so well done. I know it caused him great stress, picking his way through it. But I'm just going to sort of briefly outline what's happening here in Revelation 4 and 5 to just show that this isn't just something we're talking about here in Ephesians, but this is actually going on in heaven. So Revelation 4 is this heavenly vision. I'm just going to outline bits of it for you, okay? Because otherwise we'll get really, really... I'm not going to explain it, all right? I'm just going to show you some things here, what's going on. There's this heavenly vision, and there's a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. We're assuming that's God, right? And around that throne, there are 24 thrones with 24 elders sat on those thrones. It's a bit like heavenly musical chairs, this, okay? Imagine the scene. And then in the center, around the throne, the one throne, you've got four living creatures. If you're confused already, then just bear with me, all right? So basically, there's just different creatures around the throne of God. And it says in verse 8, that the four living creatures who are closest to the throne in the middle, they continually say, day and night, they say, verse 8, you might have sung this actually yourselves, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty who was and is to come. That's a good song, isn't it? Yeah, we like that song. And whenever they do that, which is all the time, the 24 elders fall down and worship. I think this is where the Anglicans get the idea of standing up and sitting down in their church service, all right? So you've got the four living creatures, they're doing this all the time, and then the 24 elders, they fall down and worship, one who sits on the throne, but they say something else. They say in verse 11, it says, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created to have their being. So do you see that the four creatures have worshipped and said something, and as a response, the 24 elders are now saying something or singing something. So worship in heaven is responsory, isn't it? It's backwards and forwards. So the four living creatures, they say, you know, they say something, and then the 24 elders, they say something else. And these songs are, this is in response to who God is. And this is also in response to what others are saying about who God is. Do you see that? Yeah? One act leads to another. One song leads to another. And so these four living creatures aren't just singing to God, they're singing to the 24 elders. You move on into chapter 5 and you've got the Lamb who was slain. He enters the scene. And there's this whole thing about opening the scrolls and all this kind of thing. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures, and they bow down, and what they do they now? They sing a new song. A new song. Something new has happened. The Lamb has appeared. Something has happened. Salvation has happened, effectively, because we've been singing about creation up until this point. Salvation has happened in this scene, and they're singing a new song. And so the action of God, in this case the Lamb who was slain appearing, causes a new song, and that activity of God inspires new songs, which they have new words. And in verse 9 of chapter 5, it says, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth. But they aren't just singing to God, they're singing about God and hearing up of others. Because after that, then you've got thousands and thousands and thousands of angels who've heard this. And then in verse 12, they say, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive all power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." There's a bit of a crescendo building. Can you hear this? It was just four creatures to start with. Now we've got thousands and thousands of angels. But don't stop there. These songs aren't just to God, that are to others. They're being sung, and the whole of the created order is just getting it. And by the way, did you realize that when we praise and worship, that is evangelism? In its purest form, praise and worship is evangelism. Because if I go out from here going, "God has saved me. Jesus has died for my sin. Jesus has died for your sin." That's a song, but isn't that our message? Yeah? So actually, when we declare God's works and God's salvation to the world around us, we call it praise, we call it evangelism. Which one is it? Not quite sure now. It's interesting. If you might want to go singing down the street. See what happens. Anyway, I've lost the plot of the story here. So you've got the thousands and thousands of angels, they've sung a song, and then after that, after the multitude of angels, you've got every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea. Basically, that's everything. Everybody else who's left out. God doesn't leave everybody out. You know, everybody else who hasn't been mentioned yet. They then say in verse 13, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." And then the four living creatures, they you have to do this in church, the four living creatures say amen. Exactly. And then the 24 elders, because that's what they do, they bow down and worship. And you see, this is all happening backwards and forwards. I'm wondering whether God's sort of saying, are they singing to me? Are they singing to each other? What's happening here? It's just, I know, he doesn't ask these questions. But it must be an amazing sort of backwards and forwards. Someone's singing a song. Oh, yeah, that causes a song. God's done something else. That causes another song. That song causes another song. So this chain reaction. It's like a nuclear reaction that you can't stop. Once it started, it explodes. And you'll notice that they aren't coming along and you haven't got one angel who puts on a projector screen and all the angels face the wall and they just sort of mindlessly sing those words there. Yeah, I don't know what that means. I'm just singing it anyway. But actually, something has happened where they're inspired to sing a song, a new song. They've made the song up. And then others say, "That's a good song. That's true. I'm going to sing it." In fact, no, I've got a different song. It kind of goes, it fits with that song, but it's slightly different. Do you see? That's what's happening here in heaven. And by the way, you know, last week we talked about testimony. This is why it's important to share our testimony. Were we inspired to sing because Lucy's testimony last week? Yeah, God has saved her. So we sing. It's not my testimony, it's her testimony, but actually becomes my testimony because she's part of the body of Christ. So we sing. So I might say later, let's share a bit of testimony. Yeah, because we're going to sing songs about it. One final bit of scripture, you don't have to turn there, but if there's a very similar vision to this in Revelation in Isaiah 6, where Isaiah has this vision, heavenly vision, and you've got these seraphim, which again, these heavenly creatures, and they're before the throne of God, and they're saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, the whole earth is filled with his glory." Do you know what it says there in Isaiah? It says, the seraphs, they didn't say this to God, they called to one another. You kind of get the real idea that God doesn't need to know this information. He's like, "I know I'm holy." It's a nice song. You need to tell that one, that seraph. Keep telling each other. Keep telling each other. Holy, holy, holy. Now I'm going to end with this. Some of you might know that I played a gig recently at St. Paul's Cathedral, and it was the Queen was present. I told you I would get it in every week, and I have. But this is actually, this describes exactly what is going on here. And I have to tell you, it was a very exciting day for me, and I didn't realise at the time I got to play, and I was kind of like here in the cathedral, and then the royal family, all of them, were like there, right, front row, So they were all looking at me. Well, they weren't looking at me, but I took it that they were looking at me because they were all facing forward. And before the service, we had to get there early, and we had before the service, the organist is blasting away on all his tricks and all this kind of stuff. And then just, you know, because everything works like clockwork, doesn't it, with the royal family. So at, I think it's 10 o'clock whenever the service started, the organist stopped appropriately at 30 seconds beforehand, and then it went, and then the congregation knows, shh. Yeah. Maybe that's, there's a verse in Revelation that says, and then there was half an hour silence in heaven. Maybe it's that kind of thing. The organist has finally stopped, and everyone goes, and you know that when he stops, what do you know? The Queen's coming, right? Yeah, yeah. So it all went quiet. Now, St. Paul's is a big place. Right at the very end, they'd open the doors, and it said in the programme, which if you want to see, I've got it at home, you can have a look. It said in the programme there'd be a fanfare, and then she'd enter. So as the fanfare starts, and everyone kind of like stands up, she don't come in. And so we're standing there kind of thinking, right, okay. Now, what did that fanfare tell us? She's here, she's coming, she's here, she's coming. Did I see her? No. But I know she's coming, right, because I heard the sound. Yeah? Okay, so we're standing there. And then we hear, which I assume is when her car door opened, there's this great big cheer outside. And I tell you what I saw, the front row, the royal family who were looking at me at the time, they all went... It was just like, she's here. You know, they found that very funny for some reason. But what does that cheer say? We love this queen. And she's here now. She's here now. And then all the, it's like the 24 elders, they're kind of going, yeah. She's here. And it's probably, and William and Kate, whatever, you know, they're kind of like this. And he's probably thinking, this is going to be me one day. And Charles is thinking, maybe it might be me one day. You know, they're all thinking this on the front row. And so that happened. And then another fanfare happened. And I think the first fanfare was a mistake or wasn't the one that was in the programme, because then another fanfare happened and everyone thought, oh, now we stand up, even though we've been standing up for the last 5 minutes. And then she came in. But all the time, those sounds, and then the organ starts, and I still didn't see her until, I don't know, probably about 10 minutes after all of that process started. But every time I heard the sound, what did it tell me? Queen's here. We like the Queen. Queen's good. That's just the Queen. Every time we sing these songs, we're announcing to one another, he's here. His Spirit is with us. God is doing some good things. Every time we give testimony, we say, this is our God. He's good. He's good. And we don't just give testimony when we do our baptism, although that's a good time to give you a testimony. But every day, we have a testimony to tell. We have something to sing to one another. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit. And when we do that, and when we realize that this is actually happening in heaven now, the angels are singing to one another, when we do that here on earth, we're actually bringing heaven to earth. Let your will be done, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We're joining with the heavenly realms. You might think that sounds very spiritual and kind of, I'm not quite sure what that all means, but actually it's just a very simple thing where we replicate what's going on in heaven here on earth. And they're not just singing to God. They are singing to God, but they're also singing to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So, we're going to have time of worship now. You'll be pleased to hear. And we're going to speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But I'm just going to pray again. Because do you get this idea here? It says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Because this isn't just an earthly activity. It isn't just our voices, actually. There's something here where it's lubricated by the Spirit. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to the God our Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to worship God. Father, I pray again, come fill us afresh with your Spirit. Open our hearts to receive you more. Open our minds to receive you more. Open our souls just to drink deeply from your Spirit. Fill us to overflowing. Fill us to overflowing, Lord. Let us hear that the King is nearby through the songs of others, through the sounds of others, through the fanfares, through the applause, through the cheers, through the words, that we would know that our God is with us and is coming. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Spirit on us, we pray, so we can worship you in spirit and truth. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to ask, does anyone have anything to share? What's God been doing in your life? It doesn't have to be this week. It can be 20 years ago. I want to hear what God's been doing. So let's have a couple of testimonies.